we've got Steve Forbes for the next half hour with us, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's get to it. Coach, your first year at Wake is finished, and I've been doing a little bit of homework here. I found out it's your first losing season as a head coach since year one of your first head coaching job at Barton County Community College 25 years ago. So I'm interested, how much have you been taking on-court struggles this season to heart the last few weeks since the season's ended?
Well, Josh, I think you do that every year. Even when you have a winning season, you always go back and look at what you can do better. And I've told you many times, I'm one of those people, I don't have all the answers, and I look in the mirror. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of reflection. There's been a lot of communication with my staff about what we need to do different and do better moving forward. Losing stinks. Nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do it, but I don't know anybody that really does. But it was definitely, as you know, a strange year all the way around. There was a lot of factors involved with making the season difficult. But I think a lot of times you can learn a lot from losing. I've always seemed to learn more about my team after a loss than maybe sometimes after a win. I just would not rather have six wins on the season.
See, coaches, they always are more affected by the losses than the wins. What was going through your mind when you see Roy Williams' press conference last week?
Well, I mean, sad. Not sad because I'm just sad to see him go. I have a ton of respect for Coach. And the thing that's most impressive to me about Coach is, besides all the wins and the ups and downs and the championships, he's still the same person today that he was when I first met him in the 90s, back when he was at Kansas and I was at Barton County Community College. And one of the most impressive things I've ever seen done, I used to speak at a lot of clinics for Nike. And one of the very first clinics I went to as a young coach, he was speaking at Southwest Missouri State at Charlie Spoonhour's clinic. And, you know, I have to have a ton of notes, and all speakers do, to speak for an hour, right? Roy Williams came up there, and nobody kind of really knew who Roy was because he's coming to Kansas from North Carolina. We're out there in the Midwest, and he goes up to the podium to speak about whatever subject you got to pick the subject, and then he didn't have any notes. He just started talking, and I thought that just blew me away. And then just getting to know him, you know, over the years, he's a really genuine, good person. And so to me, I was just sad to see him go. I'm glad that he went out on his own terms, and I'm sure he had his reasons why he wanted to go, but for him to say that he's not the right man for the job, I don't believe that. I think Roy Williams was born to coach at Carolina, and he proved it.
Have you spoken with either Roy or Hubert over the last week?
I haven't. You know, I was kind of waiting. I mean, I know they were getting inundated. I texted with Coach Williams during the ACC tournament. I think he reached out to me. I haven't called Hubert yet. I'm sitting in my house. I got a little home office here, and I got a big framed picture of Billis, Knight, Phelps, Hubert, and Reese at one of the many college game days I've been a part of. And so and I've got a signed basketball by Hubert over there with all those guys, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. But I'm really happy for him, and I know he's a quality person, and I'm sure he's going to do a great job coaching the Tar Heels.
It is Wake coach Steve Forbes with us here on Sports Hub Triad. Reflecting on this past year, was there ever a point you doubted the decision to leave East Tennessee State? Because, gosh, I can't imagine what it's like to move to a new place, your wife, your family, everybody, and you can't really build a community or build the support system the way you would like to.
Not one single time. No matter what was going on, you know, and everything pretty much happened in year one, right? We took the job about a year ago, May 1, didn't meet the players till July 25th, got going a little bit, couldn't leave the recruit, just, you know, had to recruit over the phone, re-recruit the players that wanted to come back, and then hit COVID, and on Thanksgiving weekend, didn't play again until New Year's Eve, and then opened up at Georgia Tech, at Virginia, at Duke, played 8 of our first 12 on the road. Not one time, and I mean that. I had never, ever creeped into my mind. I'm fully committed to being here. I love it here, and we're going to win here. And there's no reason that we can't, and there's no reason why that we won't. And so it was just a tough year. But it's a tough year for everybody, not just me, but the players. It just was a really abnormal year. And so I have never, ever, ever looked backwards. I've never really ever been that kind of person. You know, I've always looked ahead. You know, and I think I've said this on your show before. It was one of the things my dad always told me. You know, there's a reason why the windshield on your car is bigger, larger than your rearview mirrors, because what's out in front of you is more important than what's behind you. And I guess unless you're backing your car up, then you better be careful. But I'm not that person. And I really like it here. I really think it's a great fit for me. I know, and I think I kind of laughed at the old narrative, you know, when I left. There was those people, oh, you know, that's not a good fit for him. Well, yes, it is. And we're gonna prove that.
Steve Forbes with us here. I promise we'll get to the fun stuff in a little bit, but you mentioned the place that you were just at, and I'm interested what you make of what happened to someone that means a lot to you, Jason Shea, your former assistant who took over for you, but then suspiciously stepped down, and a lot of your former players believe it had something to do with the protest they did during the national anthem.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably a little too close to that situation, you know, with knowing my relationship with the president, the AD, the former AD, obviously Jason. And I'm sad. I hate it that happened. There was a lot of things that kind of snowballed. I don't believe that it was just one thing, one singular situation. It was probably a combination of some other things that happened. And, I wish they would have had more patience. I think he deserved it, to have more patience and give him another shot at it, especially in a year with COVID. You know, when they shut down maybe like three times. And so, but hey, listen, you know, this is the business that we're in, and, you know, and so we just, it's part of it. And it's an unfortunate part of it. I've talked to him yesterday, I think for about an hour, and, you know, we visited, and I care a lot about him and his family. And I want to see I want to help him do the best what's for him. And so we'll get through it. And hopefully, East Tennessee State will get through it. I have a lot of still close friends there. My daughter still is there going to school, working on her doctoral degree. And so, I have a lot of ties to that, but, you know, they've had some tough times and they're going to have to kind of fight out of it.
With Randolph no longer on staff, have you considered bringing Jason on your staff as an assistant?
Yeah, you know, I know that question is going to come up. And, you know, I haven't even thought about it. You know, this just happened. And I really need to finish recruiting. And we're there. We're getting close. And, you know, you got to do things in order. And right now recruiting is the most important. And we can't go anywhere in recruiting. We're still in a dead period till June at least. So there's no really urgency to hire somebody right now. And so we'll find the right person at the right time. And, you know, I'm sure at some point Jason and I will have a discussion, but that doesn't mean that it's going to happen. I don't know. I've tried to focus on, I'm really good at trying to focus on the things that we need to be focused on right now. And right now it's recruiting. And then getting our players, you know, in the get-right program in the weight room and getting them right.
Ballpark it for me. With all the players that are in the transfer portal, how many guys have you and your staff contacted?
Not as many as you think. You know, I ballpark, oh, boy, I don't know, 10, maybe 15, 15 max. I don't allow anybody to call anybody in the portal unless they talk to me first on the staff. Now, you know, I'm not a micromanager, but I am when it comes to recruiting. And typically, if we're really interested, I make the first call because I think that it's important for them to hear from the head coach because that's who you're playing for. And so I'm very active in the recruiting process. You know, there's always those kids out there that are going to list so-and-so is interested. Or, you know, and there's sometimes you have to make that call just to see if there is interest. You have to find out a lot of things about their background, their academics, what kind of person they are. And when you can't go out, and see and get on campus or get in somebody's home, then there's got to be a lot of phone calls to just kind of figure out even if it's a good fit. And so there's a lot of calls, but as far as just actively recruiting people, it's not as many as you think.
Steve Forbes.
Quite honestly, the supply outweighs the demand, and that's the scary part about the portal, is that there's more players out there than there's going to be homes for those kids.
Steve Forbes with us here, Wake Forest basketball coach on Sports Hub Triad. I don't really like doing the comp thing, like trying to compare players to other players. I know the draft process is going to be coming up soon, and I'm sure it's going to happen a lot. But I am interested in what kind of player you project Carter Witt to be. Does he remind you of anyone?
I don't know if he really reminds me of anyone. I really love his size. He's length. He's got great length, long arms. He's got really good vision. I do think he's going to be a really efficient scorer when he gets strength. Strength was his biggest issue this year. He got knocked off his path a lot to the basket. He could get to the basket, but the physicality of the game affected the way he finished, and maybe sometimes the ways that he was able to complete a pass in traffic. He won't have that problem next year. And so, I don't know. Point guards, I don't know if I've – A.C. Law was a really tall point guard, but he's – A.C. was left-handed at A&M. I don't know if I really had a point guard with his length that he can – and it gives him the opportunity to see over people to make the right plays. And so I thought he especially late in the year, he saw against Georgia Tech, against Notre Dame, he was getting more and more and more confidence. And we were playing faster and faster and faster. And I don't want to play slow. And so I'm really looking forward to his next year and the years to come here at Wake Forest.
Coach Forbes is going to stick around with us here. We'll get to the fun stuff with Coach next on The Drive.